Today we salute you, Mr. Anti-Mason Find a Symbol in Everything Guy.
Mr. Anti-Mason Find a Symbol in Everything Guy.
Only you can take an Oreo and find 687 symbols on why Freemasons are taking over the world.
Hey, where's the milk to go with this?
Gmail symbol? Masonic apron. Wendy's logo? Worshipful Brother Joe Zanino. Google Play logo? All-seeing eye. Apple App Store? Square and compasses.
Ow! What about the symbol for Dirty Bird?
Logo by logo, you're rooting out Freemason conspiracies one chocolatey cream-filled cookie and email at a time.
Hey! Still didn't get my mug of milk!
So here's to you, Mr. Anti-Mason Find a Symbol in Everything Guy, for only you have the power to put an end to dessert one incorrect symbol at a time.
Mr. Anti-Mason Find a Symbol in Everything Guy!
Brought to you by the Freemasons Podcast.
Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brother.
Hello and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your hosts, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry,
Worshipful Brother Joe,
and Worshipful Brother Ken.
God damn it, we don't have a credit no more. Now we have to pay $21.34.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's what our bill is, $21, which is crazy because there's some federal broadband credit. I wonder what that is.
Is it because we're using too much bandwidth?
It says federal broadband credit. I still don't know what the hell that is.
So we got a credit for that, or they were getting charged for this said credit?
No, they give us a credit, $29.99.
Huh.
We're under investigation from the feds.
Maybe it's some kind of COVID thing where people had to work from home. They had to get broadband, so they had to give some money back to, like, relief. I don't know.
Or it's because I used that Russian server for our email.
Oh, remember that?
Yes.
It's still Yandex, so.
Yes. Das Vidodja.
Yes.
Voice discount when bundled with internet.
Is that because I got a beautiful voice?
Everybody loves my singing voice. Maybe that's what that is. They give
no.
No. Discount this
no.
Dude.
You don't get credit
she
for
sounds
that.
Like an angel. You have the voice of an angel.
Giving you a credit for all the words that you mispronounce. They don't feel right charging you for
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
All right. So anyway, enough of the horse shit. We didn't get anything to drink, Joey.
I brought my water
God
bottle.
I'm good.
Damn it. Well, we got a toast.
You want me to go raid the fridge?
I suppose.
Okay. What do you guys want?
I'll take water if they have it.
Okay.
I'm not fancy. I drank a lot of bourbon last night.
Hell no, H2O.
Did a little blind taste testing.
Gatorade.
Oh, God. Water sucks. It really, really sucks.
Come and say what?
Water or Rolling Rock?
Oh, God, water.
Water.
Rolling Rock. Rolling Rock. Who the hell drinks Rolling Rock?
I used
Rock
to drink Rolling Rock back in the day.
Okay. You're probably Jeez a Zima guy, too, aren't you?
No, never.
Smirnoff Ice?
Never.
I know you were Mr.
Never, 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 never. I was a Miller High Life guy for a while. I did enjoy it. It was the champagne of beer.
But you're yeah a Bud Light guy now.
No, I skip beer altogether now. Go right to the bourbon. Go right to the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, if there are any bourbon drinkers out there, if your Costco has a liquor store, this week they've come out with their Kirkland Small Batch, which is made by $17.92. It's quite tasty.
Really?
And $21 a bottle for a full liter.
Not bad at all.
Yeah. Not bad.
I'd recommend it.
Pro tip.
All right. This episode, 246, Human Bullshit Detectors.
Oh, we're gonna can be- you say that?
I don't give a shit.
Like demonetize us?
No, they're going to put an article in the Freemasons newspaper.
That's true.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
We haven't had an article in a while. We're due.
All right, let's test it.
No, plain, boring water.
Shane, we're no not going to test it, Shane.
Plain, boring water. No polar seltzer? No.
Actually, there is none in the fridge right now, which is...
It's been banned.
Novel.
No, it hasn't been banned. Anyway, we're going to be discussing, how do we start this conversation? This kind of started at breakfast. We three did agree to go to breakfast.
Yep.
There's a, see what I did right there?
No. We three did agree? Is that making nursery rhyme?
Canadian Surge or something?
No. As we three do agree, peace, love, and unity. No. Nothing from the York right, huh?
All right. No. Never.
Oh, never gotcha. Yeah.
Never done the York
right. We were talking about catching our children in bullshit lies. And
or stories.
And stories.
Embellished stories, we'll call it. Exactly.
And, and I guess we can kind of carry this over to the investigation committee of when you joined Freemasonry. Don't feed a line when you apply to be a Mason, because some of us are human BS detectors, and we can fish you out if you're telling a tall tale, if you will. But first, let's do the Apple reviews.
All right.
All righty. Let's see here. Let's see if you got any funny ones. All right. Here we go. 5-star review from Johnny Red 1111111. Great show. 5-star review. Love the alternate universe and Google search episodes. We haven't done one of those in a while.
Oh, the Google search episode, like the autocomplete one. Yeah.
Yep. a brother in Virginia. Thank you for 5-star review. And Sitting in the East, 5-star review. Big Master Daddy 77.
Oh wow.
Ooh.
I sat in the East for the first time recently. Sebasticook. 146 Maine.
Bastages? Fucking bastages.
And if I hadn't mentioned, if I hadn't mentally prepared by binge listening to all 245 episodes of the Freemasons podcast, I might have actually remembered my degree work. On a positive note, I may have forgotten some of the words, but I made it to the opening close with no goats harmed in my travels. Vivat, 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 brother, Junior Warden McCaslin.
Oh, that's very nice.
Keep up the great work, brothers. Thank you. Toast them. Joey. Lead it.
Brothers, right hand to arms.
To arms.
Ready.
Ready.
Aim. Fire, good fire, fire all. Together, brothers. We have to go gently, otherwise the water comes out.
Vivat, vivat, vivat. Now, that would have been some shit if we just slid
out.
Boom!
And
volcano the water. Anyway.
Does anybody remember that scene from Johnny Dangerously? Have you seen that movie, Johnny Dangerously?
No.
Old negative. Michael Keaton movie, Joe Piscopo, but it was funny as all hell. It's like a parody gangster movie, and they have this Italian mobster about to go to prison. And he's like, oh, do you have any final words? And he's reading his statement. And that's where I got the bastards, you farkin' arseholes and cooksockers. You are a bunch of fucking bastards.
No, I've never seen the movie, actually.
Funny, funny movie.
Josh McCray, I always thought a sponsor would keep you hooked up. We do have a sponsor. If you guys listen to our episodes on Apple and Spotify, you'll hear our commercial plug.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the guy that I have to call on Friday nights just to check in.
Who?
My sponsor.
Who? Oh, you're.
Who sponsors us?
Real Anti-Masons of Genius.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And actually, I did a little poll, too, so I could do, well, polls. What?
Down at, like a dance?
Like a pole dance.
Oh, right.
You're not on your game today.
Too early in the morning.
Too early in the morning. I had breakfast. This is so I'm fat and disgusting. No, I did a poll on Spotify, and I said, what fake funny ad do you want to hear? And coming in at over 50%. Is the Anti-Masons of Genius. So I will continue to do as we used to do with Brothers of Genius. We're now doing Anti-Masons of Genius.
When you say over 50%, is it like 66.7 because we had 3 votes and 2 on it?
No, actually, we had quite a few. People. We had a decent amount of people. It wasn't crazy, but I mean, the people who did.
Just checking.
The people who did vote. I mean, yeah.
What were the other options?
I did more Masons of Genius. Brothers of Genius is what I meant. Anti-Masons of Genius and a different spoof. Get your mind out of the gutter, Joe. I said sploof.
Oh, I thought you said boof.
So
Sploof's a cool word too. I like
sploof.
That.
Yep. So we're gonna continue with the anti-Mason genius, and we got a couple others that are pretty goddamn funny.
Not to mention, I will just a shout out and a shameless plug. Mm-hmm. We are actually sponsored by our Patreon folks,
yeah.
which you could also join for as little as $5 a month, where you get exclusive access to all of our Discord channels and our pay-to-play fantasy football league that happens once a year.
Mm-hmm.
They do have to pay to play. But that's what you get for as little as $5 a month. But thank you to our Patreon supporters out there, because
thank you.
That's who this show is actually brought to you by.
Mm-hmm. And, yep.
That's how we still have internet.
That's how we still have internet. That's right.
And we haven't raised our price, even with the cost of inflation. It's still as little as $5 a month.
Yep.
That's true. We have absorbed the financial impact.
And I haven't closed on the other tiers yet, only because there's people who are on all different tiers, and I can't close a tier down until they go to $5 a month. If you want to do extra support and do 15 or 9 or whatever the hell the different tiers are, have at it.
Support is necessary.
Shay, good morning, brothers. Good to see you all. Yes, you good to be seen. Good to be seen, because we can't see you.
Better to be seen than viewed.
Yeah, true. All right, what do we say? We want to start this shindig up now? Now that we've done enough BSing?
Ready.
All right. We're going to be talking about the investigation committee. So, you know, we talked about the investigation committee. We've done several episodes on it. But we're going to talk about people are not so honest in their investigation committee, or just Masons who aren't honest in general.
Yeah.
Said it before, I'll say it again. You know, we're an organization with a bunch of different personalities and people, and sometimes we get people and brothers who don't do the right thing, or at least cop to their mistakes. Right?
Yeah. And I think let's throw out a quick disclaimer that the stories that you hear bear no coincidence to any real-life persons, and the stories told are solely for the entertainment purposes of this podcast, and we are not giving away any secrets from any actual investigations.
Correct.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Does that cover us?
Yes,
that little disclaimer end of every movie that says
asterisk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And even if they were real, we ain't going to tell you they're real. We'll just keep it at that.
Which is why I gave the disclaimer.
Very nice. No names will be used.
Any likeness to real person or persons is solely coincidence.
Yes.
So holy coincidence.
As they put in like biography movies, mm-hmm. whatever.
So, Ken, why don't you start up? Have you ever had anybody who tried to become a Mason, you were on investigation committee, and you can just... And you could also start off with, how do you normally... We know how Joe does it. He's methodical. He's like... you'll talk about it, but yeah. I mean, I would compare you.
I'm like Perry effing Mason.
You're like in Heart's War, you know, like you've seen Heart's War.
Is that Bruce Willis?
Yeah, Bruce Willis and Colin Farrell. Remember when the Nazi goes in? I'm not calling you Nazi, I'm just saying, but you know, he goes in and he does things like that are like methodical in order to get you to crack.
A 1940s cop interrogator. Right?
There we go. There we go.
With the flashlight.
And Dick Tracy.
Yeah, Dick Tracy. Not a
Nazi. Oh, shit. Oh, I picked the wrong reference. I'm sorry.
Perry Mason was like a TV good show song. About...
Perry.
He was an attorney.
I was going with Ozzy.
He was... he also played Ironsides. Raymond Burr.
Okay.
From Citizen Kane, right? No. Was he Citizen Kane or was that Orson Welles? I get him confused.
No idea.
Before my time.
All right, anyway.
My time, too.
Citizen Kane is one of the greatest movies ever made. Ever.
I've never seen that movie.
Only Kane. I know it's in classic, WWE. And a mayor in Knoxville.
Okay, anyway. Perry Mason was an attorney. How about Matlock? Do you remember freaking Matlock?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm like Matlock.
In the
better.
80s, I think.
But without the Colonel Sanders suit.
Right.
We good? We ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I go now?
Yes.
Well, there was... one situation, it actually didn't happen to me, so I think it's probably okay to talk about.
Because fictional.
We'll call it entirely fictional. but there was an investigating committee wherein a particular individual had a past, shall we say.
Okay.
One of the things that I want to note is here in Connecticut, in our jurisdiction, we had a they're changing it now, I guess, but there was a process whereby anybody who is petitioning before the investigating committee starts, there's a background check process that you have to go through, and it's, you know, kind of sanctioned by Grand Lodge so that it's, you know, generalized across the board throughout the entire jurisdiction.
But also up to the Lodge, correct?
Right now, it's kind of on pause, I guess. They're redesigning the process, but it's the Lodge kind of handles it, but it's the same provider of background checks statewide.
Right. It was a shared vendor so that we know that it was consistently being performed across all lodges. And no, I don't believe it was optional.
Yeah, it was kind of part of the petitioning process. It was like in the documentation when you were filling out the petition.
All right.
But I'm sure they're bringing it back at some point. But prior to that, it was kind of up to the individual lodge to figure out what they want to do from a background check perspective. There were some lodges that, you know, there were police officers that were part of the line. Maybe there was a secretary who was a police officer, and they kind of had access to, or at least knowledge of, like, that public records search thing so that you can go in and kind of look up somebody's background. If they were ever arrested in the state of Connecticut for anything, it would pop up, and then, you know, that's just another data point that you would use during the investigation. The lodge in question had that particular process where I don't know if it was a police officer doing it, but any of us can do that. It's a public records search. It's free on the internet to go and look it up. And this individual had a little bit of a past, right? Arrested for, let's just say, not really a felony. Because a felony would kind of disqualify you under most circumstances in this state. But, you know, I think it was a misdemeanor or something like that, this offense. So that kind of, it's up to the investigating committee to kind of look at that. It's up to the sponsor or the top line signer and the voucher to think about that and use that as, you know, whether or not they actually want to sign it. And the investigating committee also needs to kind of look at that, and, you know, that determines whether or not they come back and say, yeah, this investigation was favorable or it's unfavorable. In this case, the investigating committee, let's say, did their due diligence, decided that, you know, everybody kind of makes mistakes in their past, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in their opinion, at least at the onset, before they went through the investigation, they said, well, you know, let's kind of talk it through with this gentleman, and, you know, see what the actual situation was before we make any, you know, any final determination. So they did. This particular individual didn't happen to mention anything about that past. And in fact,
was he informed that he was being background checked first?
No, because this was actually before that whole process. Right. So it was just, you know, the brothers were just doing a public records search for him. This was before the background check process was.
So they're just going and checking the judicial website or stuff like that. Yeah.
You know, but so this individual wasn't forthcoming about it, didn't mention anything about it, first of all.
Does he have to?
He doesn't have to, I don't think. But, you know, eventually, during the course of the conversation, the brothers that were investigating thought, well, maybe, you know, we should just kind of bring it up and see what he says. So they did. So they said, you know, we happened to notice that, you know, and I'm not saying that this is the correct way to do it, by the way, but, you know, we happened to notice that you had some information pop up in a background search, and we wanted to see what your opinions were on it, if you're, you know, willing to talk about it. And he's like, oh, well, that wasn't me. And they're like, well, I mean, the person could have had the same first, middle, and last name, but pretty sure, you know, the date of birth matches and everything else.
Social matches.
Well, the social, they didn't, you know, we don't put that on a petition, but, like, everything, you know, it wasn't, like, a common name, so it's like, you know.
He wasn't a Smith, is what you're saying.
Yeah, no, he's not a Smith. And he's like, yeah, it just wasn't me. And
his name is Shaggy. Say that.
So, yeah, needless to say, the individual just wouldn't admit to it whatsoever. And I think they spoke to somebody else who could do a little bit more thorough check. I think there was a police officer in the lodge that volunteered to kind of, you know, see if that was the case. Because, look, you know, at face value, you should take what people are saying at face value, right? Huh. And until proven otherwise. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, you know, maybe it really wasn't him. And they did a little bit of additional digging. And they're like, nope, no, it's definitely him. That was all the police officer had to say to these brothers. So, yeah, I mean, it's just be open about these kinds of things. We've made mistakes in our past, too. Like, I've never been arrested and, you know.
Lies.
No, I've never been arrested. But, like, you know, these things happen. Like, there are definitely Masons that, you know, petty theft kind of stuff when you were a stupid teenager. And it's like, they're Masons now and they're great people. And, you know, I'm good friends with a few of them. It's not the end of the world. Just you have to own up to your past. And to not do so, look, there are enough people in this fraternity, especially, you don't even have to be in law enforcement. Enough of us have done investigating committees where you get really good at it. Right, you talk to enough people and you can kind of like suss out whether something is fact or not.
You say sus?
Sus.
Yeah, like suspicious. That's what the kids say.
I know.
Oh, that's what kids
suspect.
Say.
Suspect. Suspicious. Yeah.
Sus used to
that's
be
why like. I asked if you just said sus.
It's not the context in which I was using it, but yes. So, yeah, be open. Be open. You know, if you made a mistake in life, just let the brothers know.
So
know, we're not here to judge. But if you lie, then yeah,
if you flat out lie,
it's a different story. Yeah. But so, and again, I've expressed my disdain for background checks because, again, when you run a background check, the brothers who do the background check, they're already going in with, you know, oh, something popped up on his background check.
Well, I mean, the way that it's done, though, the way that just to correct you on that, the way that it's done is the petitioner gets the background check. They get it themselves and pay for it, and then they decide whether or not to turn it in with their petition. If something pops up, they could say, you know what, I'm good.
And just withdraw.
But what if they just go, fuck that, I don't want to do it?
Then that's up to them.
But that would most likely disqualify them, but the investigation would be like, all right, never mind, we don't want to proceed. If you don't want to show us, we don't want to proceed.
Yeah. Well, you can't proceed without showing.
Yeah, you have to show it.
But see, that's what I'm saying.
But you can withdraw your petition.
You can withdraw. Have to turn it in.
But see, what if you don't want to withdraw your petition? You still want to go through it. You just don't feel like giving up your background check. Now, see, here's why.
You can't. It's a requirement.
Because, well, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. See, this is my disdain for it. Because a person's past does not dictate their future by any means necessary. And if you really want to get technical, I mean, back in fucking 1775, I mean, there were a couple of Masons who went and did destruction of government property.
Yeah.
We were talking about it earlier at dinner. I mean, that's destruction of government property if it was by these laws today. And these brothers were part of St. Andrew's Lodge number 2. So, I mean, do those brothers, should they have not been...
But the best way to possibly predict future behavior is based on past behavior. So what it should do is lead... It shouldn't prejudice anybody either way. It should lead to a conversation.
But it does, though.
What the hell happened here? And if you're like, well... You know, the King George was taxing us without representation, so we took all his tea and threw it in the harbor. Oh, all right, cool.
We're behind that.
If it's like something heinous where...
My fear is that these background checks will put a prejudice, or not a prejudice, it'll put a petitioner behind the eight ball right off the cuff because they simply popped up on a background check. Christ, you run my background check, I may pop up.
I would guarantee you would.
I will.
But it depends on what you pop up for. Like, okay, so let's say it pops up that the person's a registered sex offender.
That's a different story.
How would you know if you never turned it in?
Okay.
That's
what
why
if they pop up for domestic? And I'll just give you an example. In Connecticut, if the cops come to your house for any reason whatsoever, shape or form, for a domestic dispute, both parties get arrested. Now, what if it was your old lady freaking tagging you in the face? And I'm just using this as an example.
Right.
The old lady's tagging you in the freaking face, but you're still getting taken down to the station. That's an arrest.
Then you have an opportunity to explain it. And if it happens once, okay. Twice?
But you have an opportunity to explain it. Maybe
three or four times, then, yeah, where there's smoke, there's fire.
But it's a data point.
But this is my point, though. Like, so now he has got a domestic dispute on his record or whatever the case may be, and the Masons who are in the investigation committee, he tells a story like, yeah, I don't believe him. Because he's got tattoos all over his face, around his arms.
That's their right to do so as the investigation committee. That's the task that they've
But that's my point, though, is you're prejudicing somebody who's may or may not even have done the crime. Just because you're arrested for it doesn't mean that you were guilty of it.
Right.
Background check.
But you could say that. You could say I was arrested, but...
And I don't think a background check...
Charges were dropped.
But does a background check show that?
I think it would. It would show whether or not you're... what's the term? The legal term.
There would be like the whole every procedure. It showed the arrest. It would show whether it was adjudicated, whether it was tried, whether it was gone through probation, whatever the anything associated with the decision. And if it was thrown out, case was thrown out. Yeah.
So let's go to let's take it to another step here. And I'm asking questions here. felony drug charge.
Okay.
Felony drug charge way back in the day in your past. Well, as we all know, in the great state of Connecticut, they recently legalized marijuana. But back in the day, it wasn't. You have a felony drug charge for trafficking or having marijuana.
Yeah, you could have done time. You might still be doing time.
You might still be doing
marijuana
time.
Charge.
But that's my point. So now, basically, I went to jail for marijuana. Now we all sit there and balk at it like, whatever, who gives a shit. But, I mean, felony drug charge is not going to say marijuana. It's going to say felony drug charge. Now you're disqualified for something that's now, quote, unquote, legal.
No. Yeah, but it wasn't at the time, so you're still making a poor decision to engage in a knowingly unlawful practice. Whether or not you agree with the law, if it was illegal then and you knew it, you're making a bad choice. Whether or not you agree with it.
Yeah, you're not cheerfully conforming to the laws of the land if you're dealing drugs during a time where marijuana is illegal.
Society changes. Things change.
That's true.
But at
now,
the time...
But now he's out. He wants to become a Mason to better improve his life. I mean, you made a mistake back in the day, but a felony drug charge of back in the day is going to now affect him 10 years later?
Well, it's a data point, and it's really, like Joe said, it's up to the investigating committee and the Brothers of the Lodge, right, when they're balloting on this brother. If that information happens to make it to a particular brother, it's up to his own recognizance, which is the way it's always been, before the background check process.
Let's read a couple of these comments, and then we're going to go to Joe. Adam Brooks, good morning, Dwarf Ginger and Robotron 1000. Josh McCray, this may be a little bit off topic chronologically. Before the investigation committee phase, as a non-Mason, I understand I need 2 signatures from Masons. Do those have to be members of the lodge I petition? Nope.
They don't, but it's a good idea if your ultimate goal to get in is... You know, you want the brothers to vote on you and accept you, then probably would do you some good to spend some time with them, get to know them, and is it requirement? No, but it's probably a good idea because then at least you have 2 people in the lodge that could say they got to know you.
I mean, on the flip side, though, you get a petition, you get a voucher or recommender from a right worshipful brother or most worshipful brother.
Then you're probably good. In good shape. Yeah.
Well, the other thing is this could be, we're just talking in terms of Connecticut, too. So
right.
It may depend
on your jurisdiction.
And that could be, so on the Connecticut petition, you've got the top line and the bottom line signer. Who have to be Masons, both of them, right? That's your recommender and your voucher.
Yes.
It's basically your sponsors when you're petitioning the lodge. Now, there's also, during the investigation, you're supposed to get 3, a maximum of 3 kind of references. You guys remember that?
Yes.
They could be Masons. It says like Masons preferred or something like that, but it doesn't have to be. So I'm not sure which of those 2 things Josh is referring to. But at least in Connecticut, the recommender and a voucher don't have to be members of your lodge, but it's always good to have at least one of them.
And I also think it depends on the stature of the brother who's vouching and recommending for you. The higher or more, what's the word I'm looking for? The more...
Well, we're all on the level, but the higher
rank. No, but let's be clear. There's going to be a huge difference between a most worshipful or a right worshipful brother recommending or vouching as in a Mason who just came in the door freaking 2 months ago.
Yeah.
If the person's not a member of the lodge but is a well-respected member of the fraternity and well-known to that lodge, then you're probably better shape than, if George, Ken, and I were to sign for you and you're at a lodge in Oklahoma. That may not go so well for you.
That's a fair point. What was I going to say? Stop me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe an EA or a fellow craft can vouch or recommend you, right?
I think you have to be a master mason.
You have to be a master mason. Okay, that's what I thought.
Really, the only thing that the important thing about the recommender and the voucher is when the lodge is balloting on you, mm-hmm. which, you know, in our jurisdiction and in most jurisdictions has to be unanimous, the brothers that are balloting are depending on those two signers, right? Because they're basically saying this yep. person's a good person, right? So you're looking at those signers to be like, well, do I trust that these people are making a good decision? And the investigating committee, do I trust that these guys know what they're doing? Because you have to take their word. You didn't investigate this particular candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the only information that, you know, a brother in the lodge balloting right. upon a petitioner has to go on. So, yeah, I mean, the more distinguished those individuals are, obviously,
the better off your
reputation is. And,
yeah.
Yeah,
and the other thing that I would advise any Master Masons out there is if you're, you know, before a meeting and everybody's mulling around, finishing up dinner, putting dishes away, getting ready to run upstairs, somebody comes up to you with the petition and says, hey, can you just sign this quick as the recommender? If you haven't met that person, you don't know them, don't sign it.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Don't do that. Because you don't, it's just...
Because now you're just going off the word of another Master Mason, and that Master Mason may be wrong, because, I mean, realistically, let's be real. I mean, most of the time, we draw from our friendships outside of this thing. Now...
Right.
The idea of friendship's a funny thing. Like, you know, and it's much like relationships. You kind of overlook red flags and stuff in friendships. So, I mean, you're taking the word of this Mason who thinks he's a good guy when maybe he's questionable.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and now you're throwing a name in a petition. And, I mean, I wish if we're going to make any change to anything, there should be, I don't want to say penalties, but... You should be called to the carpet if you recommend or vouch somebody who is a bona fide shitbag. And you follow what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Because we've had
people
pass through this lodge who were they're questionable. Let's be real. They were questionable before. Then when they got here, they were awesome. And then they went back to being questionable again.
Right.
And the person who recommended and vouched for him, like I said to him when I was secretary, what the fuck? What the hell, dude?
Like, well, I mean, nobody's perfect, right?
Nobody's
maybe one of your friends, you don't know what that friend's background is. You just happen to be friends with him now. Maybe you don't know that he's a, quote, shitbag before, you know. So, maybe you shouldn't be signing the petition at that
point.
But
see, this is why we have in the charge of the EA, one particular line says, be particularly careful not to recommend them.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless you are absolutely sure that they are... going to conform and do the right thing, right?
I
ballparked that as best as I could without saying.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Joe, you're up.
So,
what do you do?
I just ask a lot of questions.
Shame.
No, I, and it drives people crazy because, like, so I, to give some background, I've worked in auto insurance for almost 30 years and investigating how accidents happen and what actually happened and asking people about their injuries and things like that, you learn to ask a lot of questions. And when you see some inconsistencies, you kind of ask that question a few different ways.
Well, it's your papers.
A few more times. And what you'll find usually is you ask the same question three different ways. You'll get three different answers even though it's the same question. And, I do this in my personal life a lot. And, like, somebody will come in with just this story. I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me. Can you just explain to me that just a little bit more? So how did you get from here to there? So who was there? And what were you doing just before that? Okay. What time was that? Because that doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't match my timeline.
Yeah, can we just go through that one more time? Just take me from the beginning again. And then the story changes.
My name is Mike Marshall Zanino. Where were you the night of?
Well, that's not what you said this time, because they didn't think I was listening the first time, because I said I didn't understand.
Right.
Oh, well, I misspoke. Well, which time? Because neither one are making sense to me right now. What actually makes sense to me is this is what probably happened. Yeah, that's what happened. Okay, thank you. So, I don't want to discourage people from doing that, because I really enjoy boxing them into their stories and then picking holes in it.
I
love it. It's enjoyable, but... If I'm in the mood for it, if I'm not in the mood for it, then I usually just get really pissed off and say, you know, I won't play the game as much as I'd like to, but No, it's just don't embellish. Let it make sense and just be honest. That's like there was. I can remember a time where a guy came knocking on a, on the lodge door and wanted to be a member. And like, oh, what do you do for work? So he was an asphalt guy. So like, oh, what company? Well, it's really just my father and me. Okay, so, but like, are you licensed? Is there an actual company or? No, we just kind of do it on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where do you get the like the product from and the process? Like, if you're just doing it on the side, like, do you own your own trucks? You? No, we kind of just. It turns out they were like one of those gypsy paving companies that show up and take all your money. Lay down like a an eighth of an inch of product and then take off on you and you never see you again.
Oh, that's nice. Mm.
Because then, like, once he couldn't answer my questions, I did a simple Google search and, like, even just Better Business Bureau
Yelp
came
reviews.
Up.
And everybody's complaining about
and
it.
And it's like, yeah, that's not... And he lived... I want to say he lived in Southington and wanted to join a lodge in Easton, which are nowhere near each other. Probably a solid... hour and 20 minutes apart.
Probably because everybody in Southington knows who he is.
That's exactly what happened because I ended up calling some of the masters in that area.
Oh, God.
I'd say, hey, is this guy? Oh, yeah, he came knocking on our door. Okay. And let me guess, you turned him away. Yeah. All right. So it's just like.
Yeah, we communicate. Just FYI. Secretaries talk to one another.
Yeah.
And you should. You really should. And that's because that's one of the questions that's asked. Have you petitioned any other lodges within the last 6 months?
I believe the within the last year, I think.
Is it within the last year?
Yeah. And it's, we'll check.
Oh, yeah. No, we will. We will. And we can and will and should check. So if you have, and even if it's like, you know what? I did, but I just didn't get a good feeling from that group of brothers. I met with them a couple times. Didn't get a good vibe, so I withdrew my petition. That's actually a really good reason.
That's fine, yeah.
Find a lodge that you connect with. But don't... when you start to tell little stories and things don't add up, it makes us start to question your motivations a bit.
Mm.
And we just don't like that.
Now, you got to start off being a good person as a Mason. And lying to somebody in order to gain admission into a lodge is kind of a red flag to us.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah.
All right, so I got kind of an unorthodox way of doing it, but I'll explain it. But while we're on that subject secretaries talking to each other, I got a quick little story about a person who used to be a good, pretty good friend of mine. And, I'm going to take a shit on him right here.
Oh, boy.
This is all fictional, of course.
Should have said that first.
Could be speaking in metaphors. Metaphorically speaking.
This particular person took one degree in our lodge and just disappeared. Just stopped coming, didn't really show up. And I'd question about it. You go, yeah, I'll come on. Took a second degree. Disappeared again. And then it turns out later I find out from a member of another lodge that he tried petitioning or wanted to join over there. Because he had another friend that was in that lodge. And for any of those who don't know, once you petition a lodge, you're locked in.
Yeah, like, you're lodge stuck. Has jurisdiction.
You're married to that lodge. It has jurisdiction for the length of it. He waited out this particular length of time while we still had basically our talons inside of him, if you will. Meaning he was owned by our lodge, in a sense. I don't mean to sound like owned, but you know what I mean. Like he couldn't go anywhere. He was part of our lodge. We finally released. He didn't advance, so we moved on. And then he petitioned the other lodge, and I immediately got on the phone with that secretary. I'm like, do not.
It's not the way I would have handled it.
That's the way I handled it. Because
no, that's not, I mean the way that
listen.
He,
petitioner standpoint.
Yeah, I mean I would have finished out my degrees with the lodge that. I petitioned and then just do it the right way and admit. Yeah.
Because the reason being is because this lodge had a certain amount of people that were in a profession that he wanted to join. So the reason why he joined.
Mercenary motives.
Yeah. So goddamn with that being said, I swung the blade, if you will. And swung the blade that beheaded that.
But you know that. So I'm not going to put all that on him, though, because he may have had bad motives.
I did it to be an asshole.
No, but maybe it wasn't explained properly to him.
Oh, it was explained because I was the one who was the freaking recommender.
Were you reading off a script?
I was not reading off a script. I was reading off my own script. My own script was don't be a shitbag.
Okay. Well, then I take that away. I retract that statement.
I swung the axe that took his head, and I'll do it again because I'm an asshole.
I like well, the doctor. If you swung Clawford. The axe that took his head, you wouldn't have to do it again because he no longer has a head.
Yeah. He's got another one.
If you do that voice enough, you're
thanks,
not going to have
a
voice anymore, man.
And Joe for the assist.
Josh McCray. Looking back at all the episodes and all the questions y'all have answered for me, it's kind of surprising I've not asked for a petition yet. All in due time, maybe when life's schedule allows. Never going to be a good time, Josh. There's never going to be a perfect time. There's always going to be life happens. Things go on. Masonry is a lifelong journey, so you could do it as fast or slow as you want. Get the petition in and start the journey.
Is he okay over there?
Yeah, I'm good.
He's laughing at my, you could do it as fast or as slow as you want.
I think you're right. Get the paperwork in. It's not, you're not being immediately sucked into some vortex just by submitting your petition.
You are like 12 today.
What is going on with him over there?
Me saying you could do it as fast or slow as you want. You saying said the vortex sucking you in. And he's just like...
He's just losing his mind.
There's an episode of Electric Blue going on in his mind right now.
Right, right.
All right, anyway.
This is why I stopped coming.
You only showed up today.
You're usually the one who's doing this shit, giggling like a schoolgirl.
I don't know, dude. That's bullshit.
You're usually the one giggling like a schoolgirl. Like when we were on our way to breakfast.
Stop it.
Come on.
Stop it. Stop it.
Anyway, my method of rooting out people who are lying to me, especially during an investigation committee, is a little bit similar to Joe, but different. Whereas Joe will ask questions to try to corner them into telling fabrications or fakes.
Then blow them out of the water, like Sherlock Holmes.
My method is different, and it's more of a passive-aggressive type thing. What I usually do is I wait for them to tell. I'll ask them a question. They'll tell me the story. And if I detect something isn't right, I usually hit them with okay. And then a long, dramatic pause. Because long dramatic pauses for people who lie make them uncomfortable.
And they want to fill it in with
more. So now they want to fill it in with more. That's goddamn right. And they keep punching holes in their own. Oh, well, it kind of didn't really happen. It kind of, it was more of a.
Once they know you're processing it. Yep. I love that trick, too. I do that one.
Fishing, baby. And that's what I do. So I actually just, I just let them talk. And I don't say anything. I just hit them with a long dramatic pause and okay. All right, I got it. Yeah.
Being comfortable with silence is a very good.
Yes. That's the way I do things. Because one, it prevents me from sounding like I'm grilling them. And, I mean, it's almost like, what do you call it, Joe? The good cop, bad cop?
Yeah.
The good cop just sits down. Puts the water in front of him.
Here, have a drink. Need a cigarette?
You need a cigarette? Yeah, here you go. Just a cigarette for you. Here, just take a look at these pieces of paper. Tell me what you think. And just sit there and just let them dig their own hole. That's the way I do it. Joe's more of the come in the door and
I'm more
grab
of
by
a,
the throat.
Hey,
and
no, you're going to dig? Here's another shovel. Here's another shovel. Let me give you a pickaxe, too. Keep digging. Keep digging.
I personally prefer that because it's not me. I'm not saying you're being a dick in the way you do it, but when you start, it's more of an uncomfortable thing for when you constantly asking questions and then questioning against their questions and stuff. The way I approach it is I just let you talk. Yeah. And the more you talk, the more information I get. And the longer I pause and shut up, the more you want to talk. Whereas somebody who's confident in their answers is like, this is what happened, blah, 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 blah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so the long dramatic pause is I love it, especially in the degree. You know what we know what I'm talking about. Old part.
Yeah.
Withdrawal now while there's yet time.
Yeah.
Long dramatic pause, minus the past master.
I'm still waiting for somebody to go. You know I can't do this.
Yeah,
you guys, I can't.
It'll happen someday.
It will.
But you know what I mean? Like that long dramatic pause gives them a moment to think about what they just said, And a lot of times, if you're bullshitting, you're lying, or you made a mistake. Let's be real. Sometimes you speak, you say, ah, shit, I misspoke. I meant to say that, blah, 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 blah. And they come out with the truth, and yep. they correct what they said. But that long, dramatic pause, man, let me tell you, it makes people fucking uncomfortable. Because they're like, shit. Especially if you're lying. They're like, they see right through it.
Yeah.
He knows I'm full of shit. And now you start talking more. Done. See, game over.
I know somebody.
I know someone who.
Her name will. I'll keep her name out of this just to protect her. She has a different method of asking questions, where she'll ask questions to purposely make you feel like an asshole, but she says it so nice and lovingly that you don't realize it.
Is her name Women?
No, but some are better than others. And I've actually witnessed this, where I've actually sat there and felt bad for the person being questioned because I knew what was coming.
Mm.
Oh, that's a new tattoo. Are you happy with it?
Oh, God.
Is that what you wanted? Oh, okay. Yeah. So now, was that the apprentice that did that, or was it the regular guy? Oh. And that's what you asked for? Oh, okay. Well, as long as you're happy with it. I'm like, this poor guy. Like, I felt bad. And I'm watching this happen. And when she's like, oh, is that what you asked for?
That's
oh my God.
That's the passive aggressor. That's exactly. Like,
but she's so, but she that's sounds the game, so yep. nice
yep.
when she's doing it. Now here's the funny thing.
Is the artist drunk at the time?
Now, see, I want to be clear about my methodology. There is a way to poke holes through what I do. Because that long dramatic pause or what she was doing and all that stuff, it could also be, you get somebody of a, yeah, this is exactly what I wanted. And then walk the fuck off like you're a boss. And now it's like, well, shit, that backfired.
But it was one of those things that was undeniably wrong. Like, it was, what part of the tattoo was supposed to be a forget-me-not. And she knows, because of her the relationship with me, she knows what a forget-me-not looks like.
Yeah.
And the artist said those were forget-me-nots? Like, did he use a reference or anything? Like, did he Google it and, like, pull up a reference? Or? So here's the funny thing. The guy defended it at the time, like you said, like, to try to poke holes in it.
Yeah.
But then, like, 4 months later, went and had it redone. So...
Oh, that's fucking
and that, that evil laugh was very similar to the one that she had when that happened. But no, she is
ruthless.
And because what I just hear that first question, I'm like, poor bastard has no chance. This is not going to end well.
Yeah, there's some people that are just, they're just good at it. They'll just look at your face like, yeah, no, that's what happened.
Well, if you're happy with it, that's all that matters.
Bam! And then just continue on. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it's so... Most people aren't like that. Let's be real. Your average normal person who is psychologically sane doesn't really it won't. It'll affect them. But I mean, right. Every once in a while you get that 1%, man. They'll just hold to. Like, they won't change their story. They'll stay exactly on top of it. You know what I mean? And
well, in my profession, those people usually become serial killers, angry and super resistant very quickly.
Correct.
And once you hear the...
Sometimes.
So are you calling me a liar? Are you calling me a liar? No, I'm just asking you questions about your story. I can't believe you would call me a liar. I am deeply offended. And unless you pay this claim today, I'm canceling my policy. Well, it's not going to be today, so if you need to cancel
it's not going to be today.
That's fine. But when they... And give me your super. And they start getting... They figure if they are loud enough... Mm. And keep shouting. And once you hear that, how dare you accuse me of that, you know you got him.
Yeah.
I'm not making any accusations. I'm just asking you questions.
We got you now, Karen.
How dare you?
The anger thing, actually, we were talking about this at breakfast, too. The anger thing makes me laugh sometimes because, I mean, I've dealt with people. We were talking about it at breakfast. I'm not going to get into the specifics of it. But the particular people were angry. And, yo, we're going to mess you up. We're going to screw you up. But wait till this thing stops. Wait till this thing stops. And then you get to the back and like,
okay.
What happened? Is everybody okay? Was anybody injured? And they back down when they're in your face. So I think it's a little bit more difficult to when you're being questioned on an investigation committee, it's a little bit more difficult to play that whole anger game.
Yes, because then that's just a red flag in yeah. and of itself.
And I mean, let's be real. Sometimes people are telling the freaking truth, and yeah, it's angry when you're getting your you get pissed off when you're telling the truth, and they're just not taking what you're saying for face value.
Right.
So it's a tough road to navigate, but I mean, realistically, I mean, it's the different methodologies we all have. And like I said, I've had some people on investigation committee that were space cadets.
Well,
out there.
Yeah.
Not that they were lying, but they
may not be best equipped to handle that task. Which man. Happens, hey?
Especially that I'm going to tell you how to do.
Yeah. Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you how it's going to be.
No.
Actually, we did a whole Brothers of Genius. We did a Brothers of Genius a while back about that. You remember?
The recent Mason.
Yeah,
or the
recent Mason. I'm going to show you how to do
it. That knows more about esotericism yeah. than you do as a Mason.
Oh, yeah, because don't think I was here for that, but I did see some similar conversations in Discord about that, which you can get access to for as little as $5 a month by joining our Patreon.
Now, a long time ago we did it. It was the... basically making fun of those who came in the door, and they were going to tell us how it's run. We also did one too for those who cite the rules and regs every 2 minutes. But
hey, those rules and regs are important, okay?
They are important. Guys. Which, by while we're on the topics of petitions and making sure you're doing your due diligence as an investigation committee in Connecticut, it is in our rules and regs that even if the petitioner has petitioned, has passed the investigative committee, and has passed the vote, you can still withdraw his application or deny it until the EA degree is conferred.
That's only the master
can do that.
The master can do that, yes.
Yep.
PSK.
So if additional information comes to light, even though the vote is taking place, as long as that EA degree hasn't started, the master can say, we've got some new information. It's
we're
gonna
pull it.
Yep.
PSK Auto. It is a journey. Haven't been to Lodge in 3 months, and it feels like an eternity. But it's only a drop in the bucket of a lifetime with the Lodge. I'll be back. I know they will welcome me openly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Sure they will.
Yep. Sometimes life gets in the way.
That's the beauty of it. Or if depending on whether you're a master mason or not, and you have the ability to travel, you might find yourself in another city or state that you're not familiar with, and that's always a good resource to go to and rely on your brothers, and you know, instantly you've got some friends and family all over the world.
Yep. What do you think, brothers? Think we put a I know we're running a little early, but you think we put a
I think we got a good one.
So what do you say we wrap it up?
Wrap it up. I'll take it.
We got some other stuff to do potentially.
I've got laundry and grocery shopping and all kinds
of
stuff.
Recording commercials.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe we were also talking about Papa George's words of wisdom.
Oh, God.
Anyway, let's wrap this up for the Freemason Podcast. I'm right, Worshipful Brother George Mudry, signing off.
Worshipful Brother Joe, signing off.
And Worshipful Brother Ken, signing off.
Have a good night, everyone.
Don't lie. Stop lying. I'm on to you.